a sense of duty in the Lord, but we hardly ever consider what is required to fulfill the task. Jesus makes a very clear statement in John chapter 7 this morning, in verses 37 through 38 or 39. It was read for our hearing earlier, but I grabbed something, and something grabbed me, that this is a twofold process. So I read from the New Living Translation, John chapter 7, verse 38a says, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink." It said twofold. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. The first part of the process is that you've got to believe in him. The second part of the process is that you've got to come and drink. The subject this morning is, will you take a drink? Will you take a drink? Thank you, Urshas. Will you take a drink? You can believe, but it's not mandatory, or it's not automatic that you drink. For whatever reason, people are believing, but they are not yet drinking. They believe that he died. They believe that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. They believe that he stayed in the tomb 3 days, and early one Sunday morning he got up with all power in heaven and earth, but yet have they come to take a drink? That's, I might say, is really a terrible mistake, to have all of this available to you and yet you don't take advantage of it. I thought about how we carry ourselves in the buffet line, in the all-you-can-eat settings, and how we have a tendency to try to get every bit of what it offers for our physical well-being. And I realized something that Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven." And he makes himself available to us who believe in order that we might eat of him. In other words, that we might be nurtured, that we might have the knowledge concerning him, have the relationship that are concerning him, and He said, even at that, you won't even hunger anymore. And then he comes and he wants to appeal to our greater sense, in that being that need to have our thirst quenched. And he says that believers can come and take a drink and you will never thirst again. Some of us have come to the reality and we have tasted the bread and we have seen that the Lord God is good, but many have yet to come and take that drink. Thirsting is a universal thing, church, in that there are many who thirst for the water of God. And I call it the water of God because the wilderness, the dry places that we live in this life, need some water. Those dry patches that we enter into in our daily lives trying to get something of fulfillment, something that is refreshing, something that is vital, something that is energy, something that is life itself. We find ourselves trying to fulfill this one thirst in all sorts of ways. Every now and then, somebody might want to quench that thirst with a little Gatorade and think that Gatorade is all that they're going to need, and the body is primarily craving for just a little bit more. Somebody might be having an issue that is going on in their life and they decide that they want to come and take a drink, and that drink might not be Gatorade. That drink might be something else, like a Crown Royal Black, like a vodka tonic. I'm on somebody's street right now, I know. But the reality here, church, is that Jesus is offering the world something that can go and satisfy your deepest need. He's offering something that will top off anything that you would try to satisfy that thirsting in your soul. You see, everybody thirsts for the divine life. And I have to say that from this angle, because sometimes we think it's just only the religious folk who thirst for the divine life. But God has so fixed every last one of us for himself that we don't find rest in this life until we find God. You're looking for God, and you are looking for something. You know that there's an emptiness. You know that something is needing to be quenched. You know that something about your life is not getting fulfilled, and you look to try to fulfill it in all kinds of ways that only you and you can imagine. And God is saying something right here in our midst today. He said that anyone who is thirsting, you may come to me. Augustine, one of the church fathers, discovered something about God in his search for God. And he realized the importance of having a relationship that is deep enough with God to satisfy his every longing. Augustine said in a prayer to the Lord, he said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself. And no one can find themselves until they find rest in you." That place of rest, that place of satisfaction guaranteed is in Christ. That place of thirst quenching is found in our God. Those desert places that you might own, that need that you have for your life, that purpose that you are looking for, that satisfaction that you still need, that meaning for life itself, God says it's in the drink. Somebody is needing a little bit more meaning for life right now. You've given your all and you've done it daily and daily and you're still not quite satisfied. Well, somebody's body is getting weary along the way and you're realizing that I don't have as much strength as I used to have, but I come by to tell you today that it is in what you will drink. Bible says you can believe all you want. He said, but you got to take the next step. You got to drink. You got to drink of the living water that flows in order that you might experience all of who God is. In other words, church, until you connect with the divine, you can't get no satisfaction. Until you make the contact with God, until you are resting in who God is. In other words, church, it's like water to the body. You can be hungry and you can probably make it with hunger, because most of us got enough to feed off of for a few days. But you can't go very far without water. And I think God is using this here to help us understand the essential of water. He's comparing it to water, the need for him to our need for water. You don't drink water, you're gonna die. If you don't have some water in your system, if you don't replenish your thirst with water, you're gonna die. And Jesus is saying here, this thirst for life that you have, this thirst for meaning that you have, this thirst for purpose that you have, this thirst for satisfaction that you have, if you don't get it quenched, you will also die. So he tells us in the scripture to come and get a drink. Come and get a drink, because there's no comfort that's going to be found for you. come and get a drink, because you are not going to find any contentment out there in the world. He said, come and drink, and you will receive. And church, the beautiful thing about all of this is that what we have, and I love that video this morning, how it showed God breathe and the breath of God just filled the place. Y'all with me today? How the breath of God just filled, he breathed on the day of Pentecost, and the breath of God filled the place, and those that would receive him, they experienced new life in Christ Jesus. Those that would open themselves up to the blowing of the wind of God, their lives were changed on the spot. Those who had removed all of that self that their self-containments and those things that were keeping them from fully embracing the power and majesty of God, as soon as they let go and allowed God to blow on their lives, they were able to receive. Let me say something, church. Claiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ is not something that you just do and then that you do nothing else. Claiming the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the way in which you will experience the release of the Holy Spirit. I'm teaching somebody now. Somebody who's been trying to figure this thing out. I really want this Holy Spirit, but I don't really know how to get to it. Claiming this Lordship package is the first and foremost key. In other words, church, Jesus has to be dominance. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I mean when I say Jesus has to be dominant? It simply means that Jesus has to dominate your life. Jesus has to dominate your decision making. Jesus has to dominate your activity calendar. Jesus has to be dominating. Jesus has to be so fulfilling your calendar of activities that it's all about Jesus. The second thing you got to understand is that you've got to allow Jesus to possess you. In other words, church, your hands, your feet, your voice, your tongue, your mind, all of what you are and all of who you will be, you've got to allow Jesus to dominate. In a church where the Holy Spirit is making the difference, it's a church where Jesus is dominant. It's a church where Jesus is in the house. It's a church where Jesus is, where it's all about Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's all about letting go of my own agenda that I had 20 years ago, and I'm still trying to put that agenda on the table. It's about what Jesus wants from my life. I know I'm preaching anyhow. See, Jesus is what we're all about. Jesus is what the Holy Spirit is all about. And watch it now, because you see, when Jesus is the agenda of the believer, then the experience of the release of the Holy Spirit takes place. Somebody say, I ain't feeling it yet. I've been doing this thing a long time. I've been going to church for years and years and years. I started church back in the day when the church was on stilts. And now we've got a fellowship hall, and I still hadn't felt the Holy Spirit. I still haven't had an experience with no Holy Spirit. I still don't get it. I still don't understand it, Pat. They've been having me coming to church since I was a little baby, and I still don't get what all the excitement ought to be about. Well, could it be that you have just not allowed yourself to be dominated by Jesus? Could it be that Jesus is still not the commander in chief of your life? Could it be that Jesus is just not the shot caller of your life? Could it be that Jesus only gets a little bit of me on Sunday? And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's all about me. Could it be that you are not as close to Jesus as you need to be? I'm going somewhere, y'all, and I'm almost through. I'm trying to get there. Because see, closeness. Miss Alexander is sitting right here, and she's probably as close to me than anyone right now who could perhaps feel my breath. Ooh. See, the Holy Spirit is about the breath of God. Ooh, this is. So in order for her to feel my breath, and I wouldn't dare do that to you right now. I might slay you in the spirit. But y'all get it, don't you? In order for her to experience my breath, she got to get a little bit closer to me. In order for you to experience the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God, you've got to do what? Get a little closer and closer to Him. Daily devotion to God. I'm not talking daily devotion to all your television shows. Some of y'all are devoted to the TV. So y'all understand devotion, huh? Y'all, we understand devotion. It's that thing that I am attentive to the most, that I give myself away to, that I allow myself to engage in very closely. See, Holy Spirit release comes from being close to the breath of God. I wish it was some kind of magic potion that all you got to do is just purchase it Because some of us got enough money in here that can buy it. Perhaps. But the point I'm trying to make, church, is that it's relationship. It's how much distance is between you and God. I know you're close to him right now because I'm preaching and you listening. But what about when you headed out that door? Are you moving farther away from him? Or are you clinging to him? See, until you let him breathe on you, until you have those intimate moments with him, that you're wrestling with him, that you are sharing with him, and that he's sharing with you, that you are in the word, you are understanding the word, you are concerned about what he is concerned about, you are listening to his voice through the word, you are allowing this word to breathe upon you, you cannot experience the Holy Spirit of God. That concerns me, church, when it comes to a church where the Holy Spirit is going to make the difference. Because it simply means to me that we got to be about the Father's business in such a way that we are trying our every effort to get closer to God, to let God breathe on us, to stand near enough to him that we can feel his breath on our lives, to allow him to be around him enough to where we can know his thoughts, we can know his ways, we can know his actions, we can hear his voice, to be open enough that we would allow our self-protected selves, those shields that we've put up to preserve ourselves, to preserve our identity, to contain myself in a way that I'm not going to let God have no more than what I've given him. See, this God business, y'all, ain't about us just coming together to be together. I love y'all. I like to be with y'all. But y'all, I got a secret that I need to let y'all in on. I like to be with where God is. Anybody else in here like to be where God is? See, because where God is, life is. Where the life of God is, there is health. Where the good health. Where the life of God is, there is wealth. Where the life of God is, there are some things that can happen for you that the half hasn't been told. You see, where God is, some things that happen in our lives that happen before our very eyes that we would say to the world, I wouldn't trade my place with God for nothing. Because eyes have not seen nor ears have heard what the Lord can do for you when you come close and drink. It's about drinking him fully. It's about trusting in what you drink. It's about letting what he do absorb within you. Anybody had a drink of water and not tasted it? Anybody ever had a drink of water and not tasted it? See, it's like drinking water. When you open yourself up, water goes in. When you're dealing with the things of God, it simply means that you've got to open yourself up. And you've got to let God in. Release and let go. Your opinion? Release and let go. Your agenda? Release and let go. You can be in a doctor's office. And some of us smart enough to go into the doctor's office and want to tell the doctor what you gonna do, what you ain't gonna do. The doctor say, got a doctor like mine, he say, okay, you can do what you want to do. If you don't open up to what I have to tell you, you gonna die. That's what God is saying to us today, y'all. If you don't open yourself up, you can't live. Might have been facing some demonized stuff in their life for a long time. And you ain't had to stay in that desert as long as you have. Because the Bible said, you know you believe him. You've been believing him for a long time. So now you got to drink. Today is your day to drink. And I'm challenging you. Will you take the drink? It's healing water.
Yeah.
It's refreshing water. Yeah. It's reviving water. Yeah. It's water that will restore you. Yes. Will you take the drink? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.